Well, it is certainly good to be here. Good to see all of you who are out with us today. As Brother Wade made mention, it's so good to see several back that have had procedures and had hospital stays. Especially good to have Brother Hunter out with us this morning, that he's able and feeling well enough to be here. Thank you for all of our visitors who are here. Good to have the Bennetts here with us. A little surprised when they came in this morning, but good surprise. Good to see them. Good to have them here. Just a few things before we start our lesson this morning. Reminder on the meeting, song leaders, we're needing you to sign up to lead singing. That list is posted on the bulletin board over there. So if you'll please sign up to lead singing one of the nights of the meeting, that would be a great benefit for us. And then the postcards are in the custody of the post office now. So they are going to be sent out to all the houses in the general area here Tuesday or Wednesday next week. So, or this week. So that way they'll have them in time for the meeting. So about 2,000 homes that are going to get the postcards for our meeting. So that's all been taken care of. Shane's going to be here next week for the meeting. Sermon topics are in our bulletin. So if you want to look at what he's going to be speaking on, be sure to grab a bulletin and it's inside there. He's going to do a good job. We're looking forward to it. And we're excited for next week. It'll be here just before we know it. Very thankful for all those who came out and helped yesterday in getting the building prepared and ready for next week. So I want to say thank you to all of those. As I made mention, I won't be here the rest of the week. I'll be leaving shortly after services this morning, headed to camp. Sam's going to be there, so that'll be good. But I have to get to Nashville so that I can pick up the rest of the people that are riding with me. So I've got to leave out somewhat shortly after services today. If you need to contact me while I'm there, reminder, I will not have cell service, so please send me an email, and that'll be the best way. I will have internet access, and I can get you an email back. If you don't have my email, I put it in the bulletin, in the congregation notes, in today's bulletin. So that way you have it and you can get me any information, prayer list updates, anything like that. If you need anything sent out on the website, I would urge you to contact Brandon or Kevin, because I'll have enough service to get email. I don't know much more beyond that, getting things taken care of. So, all right, this morning I decided to not do what was previously planned in finishing up our series on spiritual wellness. We'll finish that the first Sunday in July, where we've been going the last 8 months and looking at different ways in which we're checking up our spiritual health. I rather wanted to talk about eternity this morning. This is a borrowed lesson, and that's why it has 3 points, because someone else designed it. But we're going to talk about eternity and 3 T's that are involved in eternity. The first one comes from Colossians chapter 1, where Andy read for us. In verse 13, the New King James Version says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." A lot of versions use a word called translate. I'm partial to the New American Standard that says transfer. The first T when it comes to eternity is this translate or transferred. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We're going to also look at the words transformed and transported. Those will be our 3 words this morning. These terms do not always come to our mind as they ought to and to our hearts when we're thinking about eternity and how we will be in eternity and what it takes to be with God in eternity. The first one being translated, when Paul is addressing those at Corinth, he tells them again, let's read it, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or translated or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." In verse 12, just before that, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." How were they qualified? How had they been qualified? How had they become a sharer in the inheritance of the Lord? What do you think about that? They have been delivered from the power of darkness. They've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. They have been transferred, translated into the kingdom of the power of God's Son. How did that happen? At what point did that happen? When they were buried with Christ in baptism. As Paul talks about, those who are baptized or die in a similar fashion would also rise in a similar fashion. Once they became obedient to the Word of God and obeyed the Gospel, then they were transferred into the kingdom of God, out of darkness into light. Where is their hope for eternity? When this life is over and we come to the judgment day, we'll only be in one of two places at the end of it. We'll be with God or we'll be away from Him. We'll be in paradise or we'll be in torment. In ancient times, when one kingdom would take another into captivity, it was often considered that they were translated. That conquered kingdom was translated into the kingdom of the other. It was involved in, you remember, when Judah was taken into captivity. And you have those in Babylon. And they call for Daniel and these other three men to come into the service of the king. Why is that taking place? They're trying to incorporate them in to the kingdom. They're trying to bring them in. They've been transferred into this kingdom. They're now a member of this new kingdom because they've been taken captive. We learn that when the sinner has been delivered from the power of Satan, from the power of darkness, by obedience, he is translated or transferred into God's kingdom. No longer a part of the kingdom of sin is the kingdom of God. Has become part of His group. There's a war that takes place. There's a war, and the battlefield is in our minds. The devil will strike us with lust, with pride. And we know through the gospel that our weapons against that would be love and grace and the goodness of God in the power of His gospel. Look at a few passages, if you will, with me. Start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Come now just a few chapters later to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." What does Paul say over in Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," or of the gospel. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We're at war. And the gospel is taking captive those who were once part of the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of darkness. There's an old saying in a lot of communities, including the one I grew up in, "What's done in the dark will finally come to the light." Whatever's done in the dark will finally be found in the light. Light exposes. Light takes captive. The gospel shoots down every false way. The gospel exposes all error. The gospel exposes the hearts of men. Through the gospel, there are those taken captive, those translated, those transferred into the kingdom of God. When an honest heart obeys the gospel and obeys the truth, his allegiance is changed. He's no longer in leads with the devil. He's in leads with God. Luke chapter 8 verse 15 says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Time would not permit us to read all these passages this morning, but in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, and continuing on into the third chapter and in verse 6, Paul describes that everyone's citizenship, once they become obedient to the gospel, once they've obeyed, is permanently moved from the old kingdom of Satan to God's wonderful light. And the only one who then would leave the kingdom of the light would be he who chooses to do so. He who chooses to turn away. When I was a chemistry major, we had a law, and I think it was a law, I don't remember, it's been so long ago now, because I switched majors too many times. But one of them was, matter can come from nothing. Matter can't come from nothing. Matter has to have some origin. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. People just don't come into the kingdom not having come out of somewhere else. People just don't appear into God's kingdom. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is talking on the day of Pentecost, and you get down to verse 38, and he tells them what they must do to be saved. Then you get down to verse 47, and what does it say? The Lord was adding to the church daily such as were being saved. Where is he adding from? Where are they coming from? Coming from the kingdom of darkness, coming from the lost. They're being transferred. Question that we have, because when we're talking about eternity, we're not really at eternity at this point. We're at the very beginnings. And as we talk through the kingdom and looked at this, we understand we must be a kingdom of God if we want to, in the kingdom of God if we want to be with Him in eternity. Have we been transferred, or are we still following on in a course of bondage and death and misery? Because it matters for when we start talking about eternity. The second word would be this word of being transformed. If I want to be in eternity with God, then I have to be transformed. Look in Romans chapter 12. Paul uses this phrase, or a similar one, both to those in Rome and to those in Ephesus. Let's look at him talking to those in Rome first. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what the will of God is, that which is good and perfect and acceptable. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Paul's talking about being transformed. You put aside your old self, you put on the new self. Peter says the same thing, does he not, in his writing? When you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in chapter 3, and in chapter 4. Remember when we went through that class? Chapter 2, he's talking about the old man and the new man. Chapter 3, he talks about baptism at the very end of it. Chapter 4, he continues on, this is how you once lived, this is how you now live, this is how you once made up your life and your time. This is what you now should fill it with, chapter 4. You have to be transformed. The transformation is not going down into the water and coming up and saying, okay, I've been washed, that's my transformation. It's a change of attitude, it's a change of mind, it's a change of activities. If I want to be in eternity with God, I have to transform myself. I have to be transformed. When one is transferred into the kingdom of God, there should then come the transformation of their character and their conduct. Let's look at a few passages. Let's start in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Luke is talking about the parable of the sower here. Verse 13, he's talking about the rocky soil. These are those who fell on the rocky soil. When they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard and who go on their way. They are choked out with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Look at what Paul says to those in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? What's Paul saying? What's Christ saying? There are those who are translated, are transferred into the kingdom, but do not transform themselves. Think about those who he's talking about in the rocky soil and the thorny soil. Did they receive the word? Absolutely. Did they respond to the word? From what we see, yes. Did they stay rooted in the word? No. They were not transformed. What's Paul saying over here in 1 Corinthians? He's saying, by now you ought to be able to eat solid food. You ought to have grown. You ought to have been transformed. But you still need milk. You're still a babe. You're still fleshly. You've not transformed yourself. You may have gone down into the water. You may have received the word. But you've not changed. You've not grown. Being transformed into the image of God's Son, let me say this, is not something that just happens overnight. It's something that we must struggle with and work towards every day. It's tackled with frustration. It can be frustrating, can it not? If you work still and you work in a place where there's immoral people and they get praised for doing the wrong things, if bosses pick favorites, if schools favor those who are contrary to God's will, it can be frustrating. And it can tempt you just to want to say, forget it all. I'll do whatever it takes to get ahead. It's a daily struggle. But those who work through the struggle, it produces the fruits of righteousness. In one sense, one could say that being transferred is a whole lot easier than being transformed. Transferred is where we start. Transformed is something we continue to work on. Being born is easier than developing ourself. Apart from transformation, though, there can be no salvation. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Christians fervently must stress the process of translation. But we oftentimes lightly touch on transformation. I've told the story before. There was a situation where we converted a young man. He was baptized. And we failed him after that. We didn't do classes with him. We didn't study with him. We didn't try to help him. And within a year, he was back in the world. It's not enough just to get them wet. It's not enough just to bring them to the point of recognizing that they need to be baptized. Because at that point, the work's really only just begun. We have to work towards it. And we do a disservice when we lightly touch on being transformed. Consequently, we also do a disservice when we expect them to be transformed 100% the day after they obey the gospel. Transformation is something that all of us, no matter if you've been a Christian for 25 years, 45 years, or 1 year, we're all still working on being transformed to the image of God, to the image of His Son. We're all still working on it. As a new baby that is born will die if he does not grow and develop, so will the babe of Christ. You think about children. If children don't grow, if children don't progress and develop, then what else can they be doing but dying? So will the babe in Christ. One must be transformed to conduct themselves in harmony with the word of truth. And so that involves study, that involves patience, that involves guidance. It involves a great deal. And so after they've been transferred, we have to work to help each other be transformed. Finally, and going more to our point on eternity. Transported. Luke chapter 16, verses 22 and 23. When Jesus is telling the story that's recorded by both Luke and Matthew, it says, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." He was transported away. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 13? Where Matthew's talking about the parables. When he's explaining the tares, he says this in verses 41 and 42. "The Son of Man will send forth His angels and will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we have some being transported here, and that's those who are disobedient, those who have not bear fruit, those who are the weeds. Come down to verse 47. When he's talking about this parable of the dragnet. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, gathering fish of every kind. When it is filled, they draw it up onto the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's two different types of transportation when the end comes and when we are going to eternity. There will be those who will be carried away, will be transported to where God is, to paradise. There will also be those that will be transported to where there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the fire that burns the fiery furnace. The fact remains, when it comes to eternity, no matter if you've been transferred and transformed, every single soul will be transported. That's the fact that remains. When judgment comes, there will be many that were never transferred into God's kingdom. Then there will be those who were but never transformed themselves. But regardless of who you are, we're all going to be transported. All that are in the graves, both those who are dead in Christ and those who are dead in sin, will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. You can turn a deaf ear to being translated. You can reject being transformed. But there's nothing you can do about being transported. Because when life is over, it's sealed. It's done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Those of us who have been transferred into God's kingdom and have been transformed will then be transported to meet Him in the clouds, to cast away from this earth and go on to where we will be in the glory of His power forever and ever. The ultimate end of our transportation that makes our present transferring and transformation all the more important. You see, here's the reality of it. Here's the logical standpoint of it. Since I can't help but be transported, I can only manage that which I'm able to. And that's being transferred and being transformed. If I have no say on whether or not I be transported, then I have to take my action to make sure that I am transferred into the kingdom of God and that I am transformed into an image like His Son. That when that transportation comes, I'm going to where I want to be. Many people want to be with God in heaven, but they don't want to do what He commands them to do. Let me tell you, when He comes, you can make no demands. You can't say, "Is there not room on the bus for one more? Let me on." You can make no demands at that point. Here is where we have the choice. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I want to fly away. I want to go be with God. I want to be in the sweet by and by. I want to rise on that day. But you know, that's not my decision. That part. The transportation is not my decision. That comes based upon me being transferred into His kingdom and being transformed into the image He wants me to be. I want to leave you with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Hebrew writer says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." I hope this morning that these reflections cause each of us to consider the state of our soul. The question remains, have I been transferred into God's kingdom? Have I transformed my life? You know what the greatest blessing is? God is patient to us. And He's allowed us all to still be here this morning where we can get these questions started on the right way. If I've not been transferred into His kingdom, I can choose to do so this morning. And if I've not been transformed, I can make the decisions to start that today. I can start studying more. I can start growing more. I can start being in service more. I can start loving more. I can start my commitment better. I can change my ways. I can do better each and every day. All it takes is making the decision to do it and then following through. I can choose all that this morning because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. if Christ was to come today, which transport would you be on? Which way would you be headed? Why don't you answer that question for yourself? And if we can help you this morning, we'd love to. If you'll come forward now as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.